Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slams it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect. Garland front of the lane, lob to Mobley. Pow! And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow! With the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo TV. Watch over 100 channels of live sports and TV for half the cost of cable. There's no contract and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com. You know, it's not always the easiest thing doing these post-game podcasts. Sometimes we have to come up with topics ahead of time, do a little bit of a rundown. You jot down things that are trends that you think, hey, maybe this is going to continue and we'll talk about it. And sometimes those trends that you write down, like Donovan Mitchell mini slump, have to get scrapped because he goes out and does something like this. 71 points for Donovan Mitchell. And joining me to discuss is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Justin.
Donovan Mitchell, he's a bad man.
Yes, he is. Oh, my God. He was, just an unbelievable night. It's funny, you know, you might think if you've never, you know, podcasted before that, oh, they're going to have limitless material. But there is a inflection point where it's so crazy that there's nothing to talk about. Like, he scored 71 points. You know, it's the best regular season game I've ever seen. By a Cavalier, by a country mile. He beat the previous high score for a Cavalier by 14 points. I don't even know where to start, Justin. It was a truly historic evening for Mitchell. This is what we... I mean, I wouldn't even say this is what they traded
don't you
for.
Dare. Don't you dare. We never could have expected this from anyone.
No, because it never happens. Seventh player to ever hit 70 points. The highest scoring game in the modern era after Kobe, basically.
Yeah, it's the highest scoring game since Kobe's 81-point game, which is just remarkable. I think the place to start off with is just how unpredictable this game was, right? Because Donovan Mitchell did not have a great first half. The point of attack defense of Io DeSumo and Alex Caruso was really bothering him, and he responded with 55 points in the second half and overtime. The previous record was 57 for a game. When you look at the Luka Doncic-like free throw, the missed free throw and put that back in, like, that is unpredictable. And you know what? That's a little bit of karma. That's a little bit of justice, because I hate the fouling up three. You know, let it roll, ride it out, defend the three. Let's have those moments, because those are some of my favorite moments in basketball. So I'm going to call that a little bit of karma. But this, like, this is a remarkable game because of just how surprising it is, right? Like, even looking back to the summer conversations we had with Tony Jones, it's okay. Like, Donovan Mitchell, a special personality. You're going to love having him in the locker room. Big question is going to be, can he improve his efficiency? He's only had one league average efficient season in his career. And now you look, this is the most points in a game since Kobe. As I mentioned, 55 in the second half and overtime. first 70-point game with double-digit assists in history. Remarkable. The most efficient 70-point game in history by true shooting percentage, and the fewest field goal attempted in a 70-point game in NBA history. Like, if you take Wilt out of this, I think it's only like Kobe, one other player, and Donovan Mitchell for highest scored in games in NBA history. Like, this is absolutely insane, and the manner in which it happened to me just blows my mind.
I mean, he starts the game 2 for 7, still playing pretty bad, you know, after a pretty terrible slump to start, in these last few games. Then he goes and finishes 20 of 27 the rest of the way. Oh my god, you know, it's so funny. If you're in our
Discord,
if you're in our Discord, I kind of made a comment at halftime where I said, like, hey, if I'm JB, I'm gonna be like, hey, I'm going up to Donnie, I'm just gonna challenge him. I'm gonna be like, hey, how much longer are you gonna let Ayo Dosunmu and Alex Caruso make us look average? And I don't know if JB said that.
Well, but Mitchell did say he
did something.
Yeah, he said he did some screaming and throwing stuff around at halftime and kind of lit a fire under them. Yeah, it had been 5 straight games with Mitchell shooting under 50% from the field, which he's been very efficient overall this season, career high in efficiency. I thought the Indiana game was okay. He made up for it by hitting some threes and free throws. But this was just another level. And you know what? On the one hand, this is what happens with the Cavs if we actually get a decent whistle for a change. And I'm sure Chicago fans are living in that one.
Our boy Kevin Farragut, NBA Couchside, was not thrilled with the officiating as a Bulls fan.
You know, big market whistle here, Carter. For once, we got a home arena whistle, which is wonderful. And I'm just so impressed by this because Chicago came into this game starting off the way that they ended the previous game, which was an awesome win for the Cavs on New Year's Eve. I thought that was a real kind of emotional win. I know I certainly needed that to end the losing streak. And they got back into that game with the point of attack defense, with Alex Caruso and Ayo in particular, really trying to gum things up. They would blitz every time you did a pick and roll to try to free up Mitchell. They would trap and force him to give up the ball. And that's one of those spots where I think the Cavs have really missed Evan Mobley in these two games, because in those situations, he's the outlet. Like when Indiana tried to do that against Mitchell, it led to passes to Mobley, and he would get his career high in assists there in that game, right? Like he's that outlet. And I thought they missed Mobley's kind of playmaking in the front court almost as much as they missed Garland's in the back court in this game or these last two games. But for Mitchell to just say, you know what? I got this. I'm going to put the team on my back. I'm just going to get aggressive. I'm going to blow by that initial point of attack defense. And I just can't get over his motor in this game. Like, I don't know where kind of the reserves of energy were. Maybe it's just, hey, we're scoring. I'm having my best night of my career. Let's just keep this thing rolling. But it to me, it's remarkable that he went for that long and still had that much left in the tank, because overtime might have been the best stretch he had.
Yeah, I mean, just the effort. I mean, the free throw to in regulation. By the way, everyone hollering about a lane violation. First off, you're no fun. Second off, all 6 players were in the lane upon the release.
Like, right. He was the last one to enter the lane, box out.
Like the fact, you know, it's funny. It was this play where he just kind of got underneath everyone else.
Take that, small backcourt haters.
Yeah, I'll
who
tell
else
you,
can get well, under the defense?
When I was when the Cavs played on TNT at halftime, I think it was Kenny. He tried to compare him to Barry Sanders, the way he kind of stops and starts, and like it was a very running back little move.
Yeah,
to kind of get underneath the defense there, and get that putback. So like, you know, it was just insane effort. I just can't believe he had the legs. I just cannot believe he had the legs to do this. I'll tell you the play that I just fell in love with Donovan on was in overtime when, you know, Bulls get the miss and he just takes off for a transition layup. Everyone on the Bulls is expecting him to pull up and he just goes. He just goes.
Yeah.
And that presence of mind to do that, and as well just to have it in him. You know, I mean, he's completely exhausting his energy reserves to get that transition bucket and take a 5-point game, which is very much in doubt. And really, I think that's the play that really sealed the game. I think this was the will breaker.
Yeah.
And I think this is the play I really fell in love with Donovan Mitchell as a Cavalier.
It absolutely was the play that won the game, because normally in that situation, when both teams don't have their legs, one team has a 2-possession lead and they get the rebound with 2 minutes to go, you usually milk the clock, right? Like you walk the ball up, maybe even call a timeout and try to get a good look there. We've talked about in the past the Cavs being too slow in those situations. And for Mitchell to get that rebound and go the length of the court end to end, Chicago was not prepared at all for him to go to the rim. They were probably expecting him to try to run the clock as well. And to make it a 3-possession game in that spot, Chicago did not have enough in the tank to overcome a 3-possession deficit at that point. Like, that really sealed it. And honestly, like, we were messaging back and forth preparing for this podcast, and I didn't expect the Cavs to win this one. Even when it was a 3-point game, I did not expect them to win this one, because when you use up that much energy to claw back from down 21 points, you're already shorthanded. We know that this team is top heavy because they have 4 all-stars or all-star caliber guys or core 4, whatever you want to call it. And you're missing 2 of those guys, and you're missing a key wing player in Dean Wade, and you're missing Ricky Rubio. You're missing all these guys to claw back from down 21 and even get it to that point where it's actually in question was a win in itself. And then I just didn't think that they had the energy left to overcome that, to actually take the lead against a Chicago team that is playing for their season, right? Like, this is a very desperate Chicago team. This is a Chicago team that's beat every other top team in the East. They've beat Milwaukee, they've beat Boston, they beat Brooklyn. They've handed a lot of good teams losses, and to come away sweeping this home and home against Chicago, I think it's not pretty. There's a million things the team could have done better, but this is kind of that strength and that resolve that you really want to see. And I think the Cavs improving to 6-0 in overtime is very significant.
Well, and I want to talk about kind of the players getting gassed, because I completely agreed with you down the stretch. It was like, okay, the Bulls have taken the hit and they are counterpunching hard. I mean, they were getting buckets up to the last 30 seconds of the game in regulation. They were hitting, you know, not just defensive breakdowns because the Cavs were tired, but some backbreaker type of shots. DeRozan was amazing in this game. 44 points for him, and no one's going to talk about it, obviously.
Yeah.
They really were hitting, and, you know, I knew once Donnie hit started finding Jarrett for these easy buckets that the Bulls had gotten as gassed as the Cavs were. Like, that's when I was like, oh, they're breaking. Like, Vucevic can't move his feet the way he needs to anymore when they attack in the pick and roll, whether it was Karis, whether it was Donnie ball handling. And at that point, I was like, okay, if they just can get the stop, if they can get the lead, they've got this. And that totally proved to be true. Obviously, no one could have seen 13 overtime points for Donovan Mitchell.
No.
On top of that, to get to the 71. But man, I just thought he was so in control too. You know, like, there were only a couple of plays down the stretch where he kind of just ran into a brick wall and completely, you know, they completely had to reset. Like, he really, really had a very firm grip on this game. He was not just gunning. It was crazy.
4 turnovers in the game where you score 71 points and have an 11 assists outing. Like, that's absurd. Like, you he would have been completely justified to have like 8-9 turnovers in this game. And like you're right, he was in complete control. And I really thought that that stretch where both Io and Caruso got into foul trouble in the third quarter, that's what really kind of opened the floodgates. Because once you start to get going, once you have that momentum offensively, it's really hard to turn that off. And we've been on the other side of that, right? Where, oh, we give up a couple open shots, and then all of a sudden people are hitting a bunch of contested ones, and it's so hard to stop things, right? Like the Bulls, I believe they had given up more than 50 points in the first half of every single game this season. They held the Cavs to 49, and then the Cavs come out and they get 44 points in the third quarter. Like, that is ridiculous. That is such a that's such a strong response. And once you start to get going offensively, you feel better on the defensive end. Like, you start moving without the ball better. I thought the first half was just so stagnant for the Cavs, and their inability to establish an offensive rhythm, I think it had a negative impact on their game in other areas. And then once Mitchell just said, you know what, I'm done just trying to get everybody involved, I'm going to make these opportunities happen. And then by virtue of my aggressiveness, that's going to open up opportunities for other guys. And Kevin Love, Jetty Osmond, Caris LeVert, all of them hit big threes in that stretch. And all of those opportunities, in my opinion, were created by the aggressiveness of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, God. What a bananas game. I mean, and you know, it wasn't just Donnie, which was cool. You know, obviously Caris had a very, very rough game. Okoro, I thought, played as good of defense as you can on DeRozan. Just was getting...
I am not shameless enough. I am shameless enough to complain about the whistle in this game.
We shot 45 free throws. I demand we not. Though, I mean, we only shot 11 more than them. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, honestly, like, there's a lot of crazy aspects to this game. Like, I thought Jared Allen had a subpar game, right? Like, Kevin Love was absorbing a lot of the rebounds, but I thought Jared had given up a few too many opportunities and just wasn't being assertive enough on the board.
Yeah, he only had two defensive rebounds.
And he ended up having really big moments.
He closed the game for us. I did want to compliment... I know Kevin didn't have the most efficient scoring game. There were a couple threes that got left short that were definitely heartbreakers. I thought he really moved his feet on defense. They were really trying to attack him in the Vucevic pick and roll. And part of this, I do think, was heavy legs for Vooch. Yeah. So, like, it's a bit of chicken and the egg. But, like, the guy kept actions contained. He was hard hedging to kind of blow up DeRozan and Levine on the ball before getting back to Vooch. Very rarely yielded an advantage. Like, our boy was chopping his feet tonight. Let's just say that much.
It was an old reliable game from Kevin Love, just like the old reliable service we get from Zoom. Support from this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Carter, I don't want to move off of Kevin Love because I, on a night of this much fun, I'm going to have a gripe and I'm going to complain a little bit about the scapegoating of Kevin Love, because I feel like there's been, especially with the Cavs kind of going through a little bit of slump, anytime that there's a bit of slippage, it feels like he gets scapegoated a lot in the discourse. and especially on the defensive end, because he is the veteran on this team. He doesn't move as well as everybody else. He's making an effort out there. He's trying to draw charges. But people really kind of fixate on that because when he has a lapse and he's not able to get out on the three-point line, it's a little more obvious and evident than other guys missing their rotations. And I think it's been kind of overstated because on the year, Kevin Love hasn't been hurting the Cavs defense. Like, there will be those individual possessions, but what he's able to give you on the defensive glass in particular, pulling down 16 defensive rebounds in this game, helping limit Chicago to only 6 offensive rebounds, that really matters. But even for the year, when you look at kind of the on-off splits, the Cavs have a 105 defensive rating with Love on the court. Obviously, I'm not crediting him for that, but that's better than their league best defensive rating for the season. I just think we focus too much on what one guy's doing individually. And even though there's the lapses there, I don't think it is compromising the team's defense. And I feel like what he still brings as a steadying force, what he brings with his three-point shooting now that his hand is feeling better, what he brings as a veteran in the locker room, and even just being kind of that outlet that I was talking about with Mobley. Like, they ran offense through Kevin Love a fair bit in this game and helped alleviate some pressure. I feel like his impact and the way that he helps the team is going just a little bit underappreciated in the discourse.
Yeah, I mean, really great 2-game stretch from Kev, and I think he really needed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he just really helped settle things down. And then, you know, who else deserves some flowers is Jetty. Yeah. Jetty, I really don't think they come close to winning this game without Jetty.
Totally agree.
Just a really high energy incendiary night, good playmaking, pushed for easy buckets in transition on a night where those were kind of hard to come by. But man, 71 points, 11 assists. You know how freaking hard it is to use up enough possessions to score 71 points
and have 8 rebounds,
11 assists.
He almost had a triple double. He almost had a 71 point triple double in this game. Like, that's absurd. And like, the efficiency is just through the roof. And obviously 20 of 25 free throws certainly helps. There kind of just came a point where he was asserting his will in Chicago, couldn't do anything other than reach in and try to grab him, try to stop him. Obviously, they don't have the best interior defense. No Jamichael Green for them. I thought he was really good against the Cavs in the first game. But, you know, Donnie was just out of his damn mind. And
so just to add some more context to the 11 assists. So Kobe's game where he scores 81, he had 2 assists. Will, the game he scored 100, he had 2 assists. Devin Booker's 70-point game, he had 6 assists.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine. And so many of Donnie's assists went for threes, too. You know, it's not like he was generating, you know, just some mid-range pull-ups that are like charity assists. He was generating wide-open threes for this team. And it was just so... Bill in the chat here just said Mitchell was responsible for 99 points via points and assists, which is bananas. Given that Wilt was a pre-3-point era, he would have been responsible 104. So yeah. I would suspect that is the second highest in NBA history, which is a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah,
because I want to say when you would like we see this on Twitter all the time. Like, no one's gotten this many points, assists, rebounds on 9 the free throw Young attempts. Yeah, the Thad Young stats. Yeah, you know, most points created in a game is not a Thad Young stat.
No,
that is just a historic output. Yeah. And it is just, it's just amazing.
And this is the high upside, right, that the Cavs were banking on with this trade. Because I think if you're looking at the team when fully healthy, I think if the trade doesn't occur, I think the Cavs still would have taken a step forward, right? Like, I think Mobley's improved. Allen's had a few rough games, but I think overall, I really have liked what I've seen. Garland's had a great year. Lowry is obviously having a great year for Utah. But, like, even though the regular season record may be similar, because in both scenarios, you're a young team that's going to go through growing pains, and like you have the talent. This is the kind of stuff that only like very few players can do. This Donovan Mitchell is that kind
seven
of guy.
Specifically.
What's that?
Seven in the history of the sport specifically.
I think that stat's even crazier because I think it's seven performances and like four of them are Wilt. but like this, so few guys can do this. And the Cavs now have an 8-0 record without Darius Garland in the lineup. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Donovan Mitchell has been able to carry them. Like the Cavs last season, if Garland was out of the lineup, there was no real hope of generating good offense in those games. And obviously that 8-0 record now is helped by the fact that they've only played one team with a winning record, which was the win over Boston. But how we lost positioning in the standings last year was when we had easy games against teams with a losing record, but injuries caught up. Like you're missing Mobley and Garland, you're missing Garland and Lowry, or whatever combination, missing Jared Allen. The fact that you can go out and win these games against teams with losing records without kind of the key to your offense, like the floor general that you have, without the guy like Garland and Mobley in particular. Mobley is what takes what Jared Allen does as a rim protector to the next level, because he is able to play that free safety. He's able to provide the help. You have the twin towers, the swarming defense. Garland and Mitchell together, that's what gives you the dynamic offense, having two guys the defense has to account for. And in a game where you only have Allen and you only have Mitchell, to come away against a desperate Chicago team with this win, and for Mitchell to elevate his game to this level in this moment, this is what it's all about. This is why you have four cornerstones of the team, right? That you can weather the storm. You can play it safe with Mobley going through ankle soreness and make sure these guys get healthy. Like this is special, special stuff.
It's just crazy. He is a floor and a ceiling raiser. This is better than he's ever been in his career. So if you were a skeptic coming in, yeah, if you were a skeptic coming in, you know, it's fair. You know,
yep, I'm raising
my
hand.
We were both skeptics.
Yep.
And man, it's just hard to fathom having a player be this good at basketball. You know, and with so much brightness ahead of this team's future. You know,
yeah.
Like they're this good with a player this good. And people are like, yeah, but they should be way better in a couple years.
Right.
Like, that's just bananas, man. Nuts.
Mitchell just turned 26 years old. This is when you expect players to start hitting their peak and, like, taking their game to another level. Darius Garland is 4 years away from that. Evan Mobley's 5 years away from that. Jared Allen's 2 years away from that age, right? Like, there is going to be growth, right? Like, these guys are hopefully going to narrow the gap, and as this team continues to improve internally, you can only expect things to get better and better. And honestly, like when you see teams make consolidation trades, usually from like a supporting cast standpoint, it usually takes another year. Like you go out and maybe you use the mid-level exception on a 3-and-D wing or some of that just kind of fills some gaps, right? Like we saw that with the Heatles, that it took year two when you kind of bring in some vets that help complement the core. Cavs already have, like, obviously there is still the question of the starting small forward spot, but outside of that, like Jetty Osman is a good wing off the bench. Kevin Love gives you a lot off the bench. Ricky Rubio, when he comes back, that's a nice piece to have. Dean Wade is a really nice piece to have. Isaac Okoro is really coming into his own. Like the Cavs are in a really, really good position. And while you and I don't have them in the tier of contenders, what you want to do is build a situation where you have sustained success and you're in position that if opportunity opens up, if a Warriors-like opportunity comes up and a bunch of teams have some injuries and stuff like that, you can take advantage of it, right? Like, Toronto doesn't win a title if there wasn't the injuries, in my opinion, but you put yourself in position to take advantage of that. And I think that's what the Cavs have done. And right now the question is, how much can they narrow the gap? How much progress can they make in season to put themselves in the best possible position to upset some teams and make some noise in the playoffs? And that's an incredibly exciting place to be in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm running short on words because I just kind of keep going back to thinking about where I even was at the beginning of this game, where I was just like, I didn't expect them to win. I didn't expect them to play well. And like, so I wasn't upset at halftime or anything, but like, I even was like, man, maybe I might even turn something else on while I watch the game, because it doesn't much matter. I ended up locking in because I'm like, whatever, you know, we're potting and I really need to.
I really need
to lock in. We're doing a post game pod, and I'm just gonna have to grip my teeth through this thing. And that is what having a superstar player is.
Goddamn.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, just choked on some water. Unlike
wow,
the Cavs,
I thought you were getting ready to do a bit.
No, nope.
But I'm glad. I'm glad. I hope you're okay over there. But yeah, so like that's what having a superstar player does is you're just never out of it, even when by all metrics you should be. Like after Karras misses his second or third that possession where Karras had two wide open threes and missed both, and you go, okay, it's just not our night. You know, yeah. Like
there was a lot of not our night moments, right?
Like, yes.
That's the wild
that
thing.
That DeRozan, like 17 footer with like a player draped all over him. Yeah.
I think that was Isaac.
Yeah, I think it was Isaac as well. Man. Yeah, I just thought everyone really.
Dude, DeRozan
good minutes.
DeRozan going 2 of 4 from three. And thank goodness he had
2 of 6.
What's that?
2 of 6.
Oh, well, in regulation.
He took a couple late ones.
Yeah. But, like, even him taking that many threes and hitting that many, like, that's kind of the three-point luck that we've been complaining about. I was like, this is ridiculous. Even DeMar DeRozan is hitting threes. We gotta change the sight lines for the opponents. We got to do something in here to screw them up. But, no, like, it's an absolutely historic performance. It wasn't the only historic moment in this game, too, with Kevin Love passing Cambi Russell for 10th in franchise history in field goals made. So big congrats to Kevin Love, who continues to be one of my favorite stories with this team. We should probably update from a health standpoint. Chris Fedor had sent out a report he's hearing that it's about a week or so until Dean Wade returns. Obviously, no Darius Garland or Rubio in this game, as well as Evan Mobley. Mobley's ankle soreness, fingers crossed that he'll be back for Phoenix. Garland, I mean, it seems like we avoided the worst case scenario of like an actual fracture or something like that with his shooting hand. It's a sprained thumb, was the report. Sprained thumb, that's going to be something, unfortunately, I think that's going to bother him even when he returns to the lineup. Like it takes usually a few weeks for that to heal. So I'm a little bummed out about that, but encouraged by the fact that he's not wearing a splint on the sideline. I'm looking for any kind of signs of optimism there. But hopefully, that we'll start to get a little healthy in the near future, because as we mentioned before, January is our toughest month. So getting these wins against Chicago, these two wins against Chicago after dropping that one against Indy is really, really significant.
Yeah, it is. You know, again, like this is a loss that I was expecting. I was expecting them to split this home and home without Darius. And I wasn't going to be upset about it one bit. Totally understand that that's just, that's how it goes.
It's hard to beat a team twice.
Especially down two starters. This Bulls team does have a lot of talent, even though that talent hasn't always meshed particularly well. I think they're a particularly tough matchup for this Cavs team. With Ayo and Caruso, who I just think are awesome. I think both those players are absolutely awesome players.
Yeah.
That really, really are, kind of tailor-made to make this Cavs team's life hard because of the way they blow up on ball actions at the point of attack. And obviously Caruso had some finishing foibles today. Thank you, Alex, for two biffed free
layups.
Transition layups. I think it's a tough matchup for us. And the fact that they were able to take both and give them a little bit of a running start, especially with Boston and Milwaukee losing last night. It's just really, really valuable because they're going to go into a tough stretch here. And to your point, Darius might not be healthy for a minute. And, even if he comes back, it's a thumb on your shooting hand. It matters.
Yeah.
We've seen that with Kevin Love. Coming back from his fractured thumb. So, you know, giving yourself, stealing games you shouldn't get to steal, and even within the context of within an individual game, is just such an important part of an NBA season, because you're going to lose games you shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
You know, games that you had in control. We've had
quite a few of those, right? Like, that's, I honestly, even though the Cavs didn't play great defense in Indiana, and I'd probably say bad defense, like, that still probably shouldn't have been a loss, right? Like, that was crazy variance. And, you know, it is so significant to win games like this. And like, even looking at the Brooklyn Nets, who are the hottest team in the league right now, they started this winning streak with some really unimpressive wins against teams that they should be bottom feeders, close wins that they just kind of scraped out. And then they took those games, they took those wins and built positive momentum from there. And that's obviously my hope with the Cavs. For me, I don't have super high hopes for January, just because the schedule is so difficult and you have to factor in, hey, maybe Garland's not himself and Mitchell put the team on his back this night, but how much gas is he going to have in the tank in two nights? But for me, if the Cavs are still within striking distance of like the 1-2 seed in the East by the end of January, I don't care if they're the 5 seed. Like, as long as the games back isn't outrageous, you're going to have a really good chance to make up ground in the remaining months and make that push. So for me, it's weathering the storm, trying to get as many of these wins as possible.
Get healthy.
And to me, getting healthy is the most important thing, because even if it comes in a loss, those reps together, even in losing efforts, can be really meaningful, and it can help build some chemistry and work through the bumps in the road that you're inevitably you're going to end up happening at some point here. So getting healthy is obviously the biggest thing for this team, but I'm interested to see how they respond to this adversity, because it's going to be a real test for them.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Well, I would argue they responded well tonight.
Especially with Philly and Indy getting wins tonight, right? Like, Boston and Milwaukee came back to the pack with losses, and then Philly and Indiana keep winning behind us. So this is a really, really important win.
Indy is awesome, man. I think we're going to look back at that loss and go, that wasn't as bad of a loss as it felt like. You know, like, you wanted to win it because you had lost two in a row, but that really was not a bad loss.
No, it's not a bad...
It sucked, but I don't think it was a bad loss within the larger context.
Well, I think you could say that about a lot of teams, because, like, even Sacramento, when we lost in Sacramento, that was the win that turned everything around, right? Like, they had a few bad losses, and they felt like the Cavs were a statement win for them, right? And that got them onto the winning track. The Knicks, bad loss in MSG, and they go on a 7-8 game winning streak after that, because the Cavs were considered a statement win that helped them build momentum, right? Brooklyn came in saying, hey, we want to make a statement tonight in Cleveland. Like, this is a measuring stick game. All these games are measuring stick games for the opponents. Like, no one is overlooking Cleveland, and that's why I think this start to the season has been so impressive, because you're getting absolutely everybody's best effort. Teams are looking to test to see how good the Cavs are. And I think so far, this has been a fantastic start to the year. And honestly, this is a good time for you and I to steal a segment from Locked On Cavs, or our buddies Chris and Evan, and talk about what in 22, the Cavs 2022, Carter. I'm curious to know, what did it mean to you looking back at it? What's your big takeaway from the last calendar year?
Just, you know, to me, it wasn't a fluke, you know? And it's not just that they traded for a super duper star and Donovan Mitchell, but you know, I angst as I tend to do.
Yeah.
And you know,
which is amazing when you don't even watch the games, but proceed.
You're so annoying. And that first half of the year was fun, and I just didn't know, I remember we even talked about, like, hey, does it seem scary that Ricky Rubio seems so important to this team's vibe, you know? And, you know, and obviously, I think both of us were kind of made the argument that that wasn't necessarily the case, that they were, you know, that Ricky wasn't the only reason they were winning these games, and that they had a lot of great stuff going for them, and that they had a great young core and all that fun stuff.
Best month was after Ricky went down, yes, right? January, after Ricky went down at the end of December.
Absolutely. But then things start to fall apart. You know, they really just take some really rough injuries at really rough times. And then they flame out, you know, and then you're like, okay, so then they went for the trade. They really went for it. They traded, you know, most of their future leverage to go pick up Donovan Mitchell. And if you're wrong, if this team isn't, you know, what they showed in the first half of the year, that's a really stupid trade, you know. If they were just a fun, plucky team that got off to a good start before coming back to, you know, some form of reality, and Darius's, you know, numbers all regress, and Kevin looks old, and Jarrett, you know, becomes more of just a limited, you know, play finisher kind of player, and
yeah,
Evan stagnates, then, oh, maybe, you know, maybe that was a really stupid choice, and they've just locked themselves into like a second round ceiling at best. I just, you know, it's so encouraging that they've come out this year having taken that risk and showed that Kobe Altman knew what the hell he was doing, proven that JB knows what the hell he's doing, and have really, you know, stamped themselves as a legit contender.
Yeah.
A team I legitimately go into every single game with, that, you know, with the exception of obviously like schedule loss type of stuff. But I go into every single game going, they should probably win.
They certainly can
win if things break right. I didn't feel that last year. There were games where I was like, it would be really cool if they won, but I do not think they will. You know, because they were just, you know, they were young and untested, and they're earning their battle scars.
Yeah, it really was a house money year. Like, to me, if I look back at 2022, the calendar year for the Cavs, like, it's to me the year that we got the message from the Cavs that we're going to try to win another championship, right? Like, we're not going to be content with having a good young core that's probably going to be competitive for a very long time. We're serious about trying to win another championship in Cleveland. And to me, like, that's the most exciting thing in the world as a fan, right? Because even though you and I don't expect it this year, I do expect at some point this core is going to contend for a championship. We might even see multiple finals appearances if we're lucky. Like, you might not get there, right? Like, you know that there's the chance for injuries. Some great teams never made it past the conference finals. Like, it just happens. But they're going to give it an honest shot. They're going to make a trade for Caris LeVert. Because, hey, we're having some injuries. We need to get ball handling. We need to get some scoring. That obviously didn't work out last year. Combination of injuries, weird fit, actually probably more injuries than anything else. It just didn't work out. But even though you invested in a ball handler to give that secondary playmaking to Darius Garland, it didn't stop them from going out and saying, hey, this might make LeVert a little redundant at times, but we're going to go get Donovan Mitchell. We're going to cash in. We're going to get this star because this is the star that's available. We feel like he is a fit on the basketball court. We feel like he is a cultural fit, and we're going to prioritize culture, and we're going to prioritize winning and you know, make the move that so many teams are scared to make and put their chips to the middle of the table, pay what it costs to bring in a star. And to me, it's just so damn exciting because they made that move. Obviously, I had reservations about going all in on a guard when you haven't solved the issue at the small forward position. But at the same time, man, like, it is so rare to get four cornerstone players that all complement each other so well on and off the court. Like, from a personality standpoint, Garland and Mitchell seem like such a great pairing. Same with Allen and Mobley. Like, they all kind of complement each other on and off the court. And to me, the fact that the Cavs are serious about winning a championship and are going to make the moves, they're going to be aggressive. There's going to be some whiffs along the way. There's going to be some heartbreak, but like, this is the run. Like, I feel like I'm going to look back at this era, the Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Allen Cavs, and it's going to be one of my favorite runs as a Cleveland fan. Like, this is just such a special moment. And to me, 2022 was the year that started, where all of a sudden I took my expectations from, hey, it'd be pretty damn cool if we were the grit and grind Grizzlies that, yeah, you know, yeah, had a few playoff runs. You love this team. You have these really, really likable players, and maybe we get lucky, but you know, we're going to at least be around for a while, and we can show that, hey, the Cavs aren't a laughing matter. They can build a team with sustained success. 2022 is the year where those expectations shifted, and I never thought I was going to see one championship as a Cleveland fan, and here we are. Maybe we're going to see another, at least another NBA Finals, maybe. Like, that to me, just the possibility of that makes every single night so much more exciting. It makes the discussions we're able to have on the podcast more exciting. It makes the arguments that we have more exciting. And there's weight to everything. Like, this is what it's all about. And I'm just so excited for this journey, man.
Well, you know, not to get too, you know, focusing on us sort of thing. But again, I just think about when this team's winning 20, 23 games a year, and we're kind of beating our heads against the wall trying to figure out what we're going to talk about, you know, because it's like, all right, we've made all the same points, yeah, like 46 times. Like,
it's time, like, to pretend we know what's going on in the draft.
Yeah, like, and just getting to actually, like, legitimately kind of both, like, talk through the problem solving of a long season, mm-hmm, and kind of figuring out, oh, this isn't going well. Why is that? What can they do? What does this team need to kind of tackle the problems they're facing? And also, what is going well? And then sometimes, like, just getting to have these kind of just, you know, like, insane nights where it's like, I don't think we've said one insightful thing tonight, you know, like, we're just so shell-shocked by kind of seeing that kind of greatness in front of us. So, you know, it's just really cool, man. And
Donovan Mitchell, he's a bad man.
Well said. Honestly, that puts a perfect button. That puts a button on all this. This is great. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. We really appreciate you guys. Hopefully you guys are having as much fun on this ride as we are. Good Lord, Donovan Mitchell, man. Just what on earth? If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, you can leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. And until next time, go Cavs.